Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, in my hometown, out there on the edge of the prairie. It's been fiercely, fiercely cold here this last week. About 5:30 in the morning one day this last week, Roger Headland drove into town and pulled up in front of the Chatterbox Cafe. The lights were on inside. It opens at 5 in the winter. He stepped out of his truck, and the moment he stepped out onto the street, he could smell coffee in that cold early morning air. Folger's coffee, the coffee of our grandparents, coffee of those valiant people who walked the narrow road that was set for them in this life. And on their best days, they were funny and sociable, and on their worst days, they didn't talk about it. But every morning, they woke up to that smell of coffee, Folger's coffee, and it gave them hope. He could smell that Dorothy was baking caramel rolls today as well, and she was making her mysterious pork sausage, the best pork sausage that anybody in that town has ever had. It's a family secret. She won't even tell you what spices go into it. Baking big caramel rolls, and he opened the door of the cafe, and the smell of caramel came rolling out towards him. These are big softball-sized caramel rolls, which contain about 10 times the minimum daily adult requirement of caramel. They are have more calories than Sunday dinner, and we only eat them when there's moral justification for it in the coldest, coldest part of winter to save our lives. And you never know when your life may need to be saved. And a beautiful, beautiful pork sausage. Oh, it smelled so good. He sat down at the counter. Mr. Berge was 3 stools away. Didn't even need to talk to Berge. He just sat down. Roger did. He woke up because he was worrying about his farm, which is going under. Family farm is dying, especially if your wife isn't interested in farming and your 2 daughters aren't interested in meeting any boys who are interested in farming. Then your family's pretty well done with it. Roger ordered 2 eggs, sunny side up, and hash browns, please, and coffee, of course, and some of that wonderful pork sausage. Cold, 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 cold morning. Front window all steamed up on the inside, ice on the outside. Beautiful cold weather. Weather cold enough that our relatives down south, they call up to ask if we're okay. Which, of course, we are, perfectly warm and comfortable. It's them we're worried about down there south. Because if it ever gets down below freezing, those people are in danger down there in the Carolinas and Tennessee. You worry about those people. They live in those jerry-built houses with no basements. They're not properly heated or insulated. Gets down into the 30s. Those are chilly. A few snow flurries, and those people are trapped. They can't go anywhere. They don't dare go out on the highways. If there are snowflakes landing on the highways, they're paralyzed with fear. And of course, in that crawl space under those houses down south, you have poisonous snakes that have come for refuge. Poisonous snakes who start to get hungry about this time of year. And in the floorboards there, you've got knots in those floorboards that are just about big enough for a snake to crawl through. And when it gets cold down below freezing, a lot of those knots, they just fall right out. I wouldn't be able to sleep if I was living down south. Snakes come right in. Those snakes are attracted to people who smell of citrus fruit. It's a fact. I would be thinking about, but up here, up north, we have very, very, very little to worry about. When you're young, you have to worry about putting your tongue on a pump handle or iron post or a doorknob outdoors or some other piece of frozen iron, and of course your tongue would stick to it and people would have to come and rescue you. And you have to worry about that when you are your age, you people need to worry about that, because at your age you have this perverse streak in you that something you know is a dumb thing, you're attracted to doing it. We know this. But by the time you get to my age, you don't need to think about not putting your tongue on a pump handle so much. You don't think about it all the time when you go outside. You do have to remember not to breathe through your mouth. You should never breathe very, very cold air through your mouth. You should always breathe through your nose. We were taught this as little children. The consequences of breathing cold air through your mouth we're not entirely sure about, but they're not good. Some people have died. People have died suddenly outdoors, taking deep breaths of very cold air. They died and their bodies were preserved in mid-motion, like the victims of Pompeii. They were frozen, shoveling snow, or sometimes standing in a parking lot holding a bag of groceries in one arm. People just stood there like statues, and they died instantly, thank God. But it's not death, which is the big problem with breathing through your mouth. It's the effect that it has on the brain. And it's difficult to describe what effect exactly this is, except you know it when you see it. And you say, yeah, he's a mouth breather. He's a mouth breather. We know him. We know him when we see him. Roger Hedlund sitting there breathing warm air and eating that wonderful, wonderful pork sausage. Beautiful pork sausage. Worth going out on a cold morning to get. Dorothy said, so how are you? Fine. He said, fine. She said, you're probably thinking about spring planting already, aren't you? He said, no, no. He said, there's a lot of time to need to think about that. But actually, he is thinking about it. Since he thinks the farm is going down, he's been thinking he might get out of soybeans and corn, and he might get into raising grass seed. He's looked into it, short blue stem grass. It's a beautiful thing to see in the field, waves of it like an ocean. And it's not that hard to raise. You get a flat piece of ground, and you don't plow it. There's no tillage. You sort of plane it. You skid it with a planter just to scrape off the top layer of the chaff and the weeds and the weed seeds, and you scrape it off clean. And then you put just a little shallow furrow in, furrows about maybe 12 inches apart or a little bit more, and you put in your blue stem seeds, which are microscopic. And then you cover it over, you plane it again, and it comes up. It raises these beautiful little flowers that come up. It's a beautiful thing. And then you harvest it with a combine, and you put it through a shaker, which shakes it down through increasingly fine mesh screens until the last thing through is the blue stem seeds, and it sells for $25 a pound, $2,500 for a hundredweight. Shelled corn, cracked corn, is $4 for a hundredweight, $2,500. He could see doing that this year, but he doesn't want to tell anybody. Anybody who gets out of line in Lake Wobegon, you never hear the end of it. People be talking about this for months to come. No need to let the public know. Until much, much, much later, August, maybe. What is this in this sausage? He says, is tarragon? No, she says, not tarragon. He says, is fennel? You put fennel in this? No, she says, not fennel. Oregano. I can taste oregano. Oh, she said, maybe or not. I don't know. It's a secret. Don't ask me. I can't tell you. The secret came from her ex-husband's family. It was their recipe. The recipe and three kids were all she got out of that marriage, Dorothy. The rest of it was just too horrible to mention. He was a mouth breather. She said, do you hear Mr. Hansen's brother died? I saw his obituary in the paper. He was your age. 58. Died. Didn't say what the cause was, but I heard his liver. No surprise there. Yeah. Obituary said cremation. And not having the service at a church. They're going to have it at the funeral home up in Little Falls. I didn't know him that well. He never came in here to eat. He never ate here. Ate up in Little Falls Cafe up there. I don't know why. She said, I shouldn't say this because more and more people are getting cremated, but you know, there's only one reason I can see to do it, and that's to make it harder for God to find you afterwards. Why else would you do it? Anyway, I don't envy the preacher who has to take that funeral service. Nope. Somebody going to preach at that funeral who never knew that man. That'd be all to his benefit, I tell you. No, the things that need to be said at that man's funeral, you wouldn't want to say in front of his children, but I suppose you feel you should if you were clergy. That man was a gilded idiot, I tell you that. Hansen ping-pong balls for brains. Married a girl he went to high school with. They had 3 children about 9 months and 10 minutes apart. And then during that 3rd pregnancy, he took up with a waitress, took up with a waitress at this cafe in Little Falls. He was talking about Chicago. She allowed us how she'd never ever seen Chicago. He offered to show her Chicago, and he took her off to show her Chicago, and he did, but they only got as far as Minneapolis. He showed her Chicago down in Minneapolis. And then he divorced his wife. Terrible, terrible thing. Oh, my, he paid heavily for that. Nobody would talk to him, so he was married to that waitress, and he had 2 children by her. And after 2 children by her, he kind of took up with this other waitress at this cafe down on Highway 10. And he was going to take her off to show her Chicago in this trucker's motel just a little bit north of St. Cloud, and who should he run into in the coffee shop of that motel but his own brother sitting there and drinking coffee, just like you are now. And the brother stopped him. He grabbed hold of him. He said, Howard, don't shame us like this. Howard was just distraught. He was about 10 yards from glory. He just about to get the room key. He said, please. Please let me go. But his brother wouldn't. He took hold of him and he took him back home. Oh my gosh, was there hell to pay? His wife came out to meet him with a butcher knife. She held it up to his throat. She said, you do that one more time. She said, I'm going to cut your heart out and feed it to pigs. And I mean it. How can you be so damn dumb? He was in the doghouse for 3 years over that. And did he learn from it? No, he could not control himself any more than a dog in a butcher shop. That man was helpless. He grew up in a good Lutheran home. I don't know what his problem was. Went off to the movies at the Pantages Theater in St. Cloud, sat there, watched movies, buxom women fainting into the arms of men or something. I don't know what. Sat there for hours watching movies until he finally peeled his feet up off the floor and went home and looked at men's pictorial magazines that he'd found in the barn. I tell you, that man never grew up. He never grew up. He ran off with his child's baton instructor. Spent 3 months on the road with her. He had to fling a roll in the hay with a gym teacher from the high school in the next town. He went off with this woman and her sister. They were in the carnival. He went off with this woman and her sister. They were Siamese twins. He drove them into the motel. The one of them played the clarinet and the other one played the trombone, and he was fooling around with the clarinetist, and the trombone player was practicing her instrument, and the room clerk heard it downstairs, and he came up to ask her to please keep it down, and he heard them inside, and he came in, couldn't believe his eyes. He called for the sheriff. This man never learned. He just kept getting into trouble over and over and over. He just never ever learned. Was arrested by the sheriff for speeding a couple years after that. And in the car was this married woman from Kimball in her negligee. The reason for his haste, he was on his way to a rendezvous with her. Men never learn. Then at last he married his third wife. She was a widow. Her husband had died of a hole in his chest, which was caused by a shotgun at 3 o'clock in the morning when he came home, having been dallying with a woman out in the next township. What a fool, flat country. Everybody can see a car come and go. They know whose car it is. Didn't deter him one bit. Hansen's brother married him, married her. They settled down. She had a nice big farm. He raised blue stem grass out there. Grass farmer. Kind of settled down there for a few years. Then he died. Now some poor Methodist preacher going to have to stand up in front of everybody who knew this man all too well and sum up his life. People who knew that man had no need of daytime television. I tell you, they had all the entertainment they needed. Just hearing about him. Some poor minister going to have to stand up and talk about him. Well, Dorothy said, I can sum it up in one word. He was a mouth breather. It was still dark out. Roger had a second cup of coffee. The Krebsbach came in, Florian and Myrtle Krebsbach. Two old people, runny noses, all bundled up. Florian had awakened, worried that his car would not start, and so he had gone out to start it. And then once he got it started, he figured he might as well come to town. Myrtle woke up and he wasn't there in bed. She worried that he had died of a heart attack. He'd gone outside and had breathed through his mouth and had killed him. She'd almost decided on what hymns they'd sing at the funeral. And there he was. He was in the car warming it up. So she got in. They drove into town, into the Chatterbox Cafe. Still dark out. They sat down at the counter. They had the eggs. They had the caramel roll. They had that beautiful sausage and the coffee, of course. Myrtle said, this is it for me. This is the last winter here. This is no place for a human being to live. This is the last winter I spend in Minnesota. She seemed relieved that this decision had been made at last, though she has said exactly the same thing every year for 20 years. She felt good. And then you could feel dawn come up. You could feel dawn coming up slowly in the east, across the lake. The sky started to lighten up. And the window of the Chatterbox steamed up in the ice sheets on the outside, in the pink and the orange and the golden and the yellow dawn, was briefly like the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, the most magnificent thing you'd ever seen, especially with the smell of coffee. And Roger thought to himself, to die at the age of 58, if you left behind a field of blue stem grass, like ocean waves rolling in the wind, beautiful grass, if you left behind a field of beautiful grass, it would be something. It would be good enough. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, and all the children above average.